Father, we thank you and praise you for tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, you exalt your word even above your name. And so, Father, we reverently come before your word tonight, and we say, teach us, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge that we don't know as we ought to know, but, Father, you know all things. So, Father, anoint your word. Cause it to be sealed in our hearts. Father, cause us to come up to another degree of glory in you, that we would be changed by your Spirit. Father, we love you tonight. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Well, tonight, you know, God put in my heart to talk about the power to change. And you know, there's a lot going on in the world right now. And you know, we're open around here. We try to hit the cultural issues. I praise God for that. And there's so many people that their attitude is, this is just me, this is how I am, and I'm not gonna change, and so you just deal with it. And that is a prevalent thing in our society. And then there's also those that feel like they were made a certain way, born a certain way, and they can't change. Even if they wanted to, they can't change. And so they're wanting you to just accept everything that they're doing because of that. So we have this thing going on in our culture. But when we come to the Lord, when we make Jesus the Lord and Savior of our life, and we begin to get into his word, the Holy Spirit demands change of us. Amen? And so if you've had some of these mindsets that I can't change, or maybe you tried to change certain areas of your character or your morals, and it just seemed like you couldn't, and so it became a very frustrating experience for you, I want to encourage you tonight, and we're going to look at the Word of God, and I believe in the name of Jesus that you're going to be convinced that you can change by the power of God, and you can be all he's called you to be, and you can do all he's called you to do. So are you ready? Okay, let's hang on. We're ready to go. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's actually, I've ministered along these lines before just because it's part of my testimony. When I discovered Romans 12, 1 and 2, I was convinced somebody had been hiding that portion of the Bible or something. But I was raised in church, loved God for as far back as I can remember. I was relating to Pastor Joel's testimony a few weeks ago. I received Jesus in the midnight hour on my bed at 9 years old. And then I had to rebel against the authority of my parents to go forward and receive Jesus, because the mindset in our church was that you had to be at least 12 to do that. And I was only 9. So I remember being back at the baptismal and saying to my mom, I know what I'm doing, you know. Rebel and receive Jesus. Anyway, that's different. But as I hit my teenage years, young adult years, there began to be inconsistencies in my life. I would, you know, go to church and felt like I knew the Word of God, but then it seemed like there were areas in my morals and in my character that were ungodly that I couldn't change. And so I was frustrated with that. Something that really plagued me, and I don't know if this speaks to any of you, but I had a real battle with depression. And I learned later that probably a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, I wasn't living for God and, you know, the enemy was obliging me. But I had a real battle with depression. And it seemed like that dark cloud would move in and kind of stay there for a couple weeks, and I would be powerless to come out from under it. And then one day I would wake up and it had lifted and it was like, oh, it's going to be a good day. And so I had a real battle with that, and insecurities and sin in my life, all of that. Well, in my junior year in college, came back to the Lord, got gloriously filled with the Spirit, and that's why I really promote people being filled with the Holy Spirit, because I saw as a Christian what a difference it made. But then the next thing I discovered was this Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it absolutely set me free. Let's read it together. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after the world. Don't be molded like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says, don't be like the world, but be transformed or changed by renewing your mind. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So this word transform in the Greek is metamorpho. It's actually where we get our word metamorphosis. Isn't that amazing? And so he says, don't be like the world, but be transformed. Go through a metamorphosis and become changed by renewing your mind. And so you can change. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what statistics you're reading, you can change by the power of God. Now, I'm not going to say you can in and of yourself, in the world, just with your great willpower, or, you know, I'm going to change, you know. That can work to a certain extent. You can develop some healthier eating habits. You can, you know, change certain habits and things. But some of these things that are really deeply ingrained in us, that even possibly through some demonic things going on, it takes the power of God for you to change. Now, in looking at this word, metamorpho, it's very much, it's like I said, where we get our word metamorphosis. And I've got some pictures up here of first eggs, and then a caterpillar, and then a cocoon or a chrysalis, and then a butterfly. And that's much how our walk is in the Lord. We're born again of the Spirit of God, and there's a seed that's planted in our heart. You are as saved as you're ever going to be. You're on your way to heaven because of the blood of Jesus, and you have received it by faith. So it's not how good you're going to be that's going to get you to heaven. That is settled when you're born again. But then you begin to walk this walk. You're kind of like this little caterpillar, crawling along, eating leaves. They eat lots of leaves. But then there becomes a time that you realize how much you have to die to the flesh. And you actually go into sort of a death state as far as allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with you about things that need to die, things that you need to let go. And it can seem like a very wilderness kind of dead time in your life. But then you begin to apply the Word of God. You begin to allow the Spirit of God to strengthen you and empower you, and you begin to break loose, and you're set free to fly like that butterfly. Isn't that good? You know, we get well, in Matthew 17:1, it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. That word transfigured is that same word, metamorpho. He was transfigured. You know, I think it's so amazing. He was really giving some of the disciples a clue early on. This was way before he was crucified. He didn't have his glorified body yet. And yet, his face shone like the sun, and his figure was bright and white as the light. And he was showing them, I'm God. You know, they wanted to build 3 tabernacles to Abraham, Moses, and Elijah. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son, obey him. And so he was establishing that he was the Son of God. And they got a glimpse into what his future would be. So that Greek word metamorpho is also the word that's used for transfigured. And you can literally become transfigured. Even your countenance can become different in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Metamorphosis. We're being changed. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I have a couple pictures here that I'd like to show of someone's old, very old driver's license. And this is like, over 20 years old. Is there another picture too? There were two, yes. And this person that's in this picture, his old driver's licenses, was addicted to meth. He actually sold meth and coke, in and out of jail, running from the law. He was messed up. But he came to the Lord several years ago. And you won't even recognize him now, not just because he's older, but because of the countenance on his face. Petey, are you out there? Where are you? Come on up, Petey. Many of you know him as Petey Cuellar. It's actually Richard Cuellar. Petey Cuellar. And I just want him to smile for you. Come up, Petey, and smile real big. And look at the difference. This is the old Petey. In bondage to drugs, doing his own thing, didn't know the Lord.
Run from him instead of to him.
Yeah, running from him instead of to him. And now he's one of our amazing SBTs. He teaches anger management, totally transformed by the power of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Petey. Love you. You. He's unrecognizable. You can't look at those pictures and say, that's Petey. That's not Petey. That's the old dead Petey. And you just saw the resurrected, full of life Petey. Amen? Amen. So God's word is that mirror that it talks about in 2 Corinthians 3:18. That when we look into that mirror, the word of God, we see the reflection of ourself. We see our true purpose. We see our true identity. It doesn't matter what people have spoken over you your whole life. God has a purpose for your life, and he has a destiny. And that call actually was placed upon your life in your mother's womb. When you were first conceived, it was your hair color, basically what your height was going to be, what your facial features, all those kinds of things were kind of set in your DNA, but also there was a call. And I was talking to Petey yesterday, and he was saying how he could look back, and there were many times that even when he was dealing drugs and all that, that he would leave the party just in time when someone came in and unloaded a gun on everybody. He could see that the hand of God was even on him back then for such a time as this. And so you're not here tonight by accident. God has a call on your life. He has a destiny for you. He has a purpose that you are only going to see when you spend time in his word and getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So herein lies the secret. Change your behavior and you can, change your behavior by changing the way you think. It's that simple. We have to submit our minds to the Word of God, allow the Word of God to renew the way we think. Instead of putting your efforts on your behavior and, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to, I'm going to buck up. You put your efforts on the Word of God and changing the way you think about yourself, about others, about life, about what's going on with the people around you. You begin to find out what God thinks, what his feelings are about things, and you renew your mind. You change the way you think, and it changes your behavior. It's automatic. It's automatic. Look at this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We've been dealing with a lot of these things now that we're going through that first part of Romans. Do not be deceived. Now listen, this is Bible. This was written, you know, over 2,000 years ago. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous. Yeah, covetous, like Pastor Dan talked about this morning. Yeah, that's in that same list. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he writes to us today. And we got some insights as to the Corinthian culture. It was horrible. It was as bad or worse than what we see today. You know, temple prostitutes and all these things, and as Pastor Dan pointed out, even Nero was, you know, in a homosexual marriage. You know, so all of these things were going on. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he lists all of these things. We act like it's just something that we made up in this generation. But he lists all of these things, and he says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were those things. They had behavior after those things. That was their lifestyle. And yet, now they were washed. Now they were cleansed. So the lie that people cannot change, certain behaviors cannot change, is a lie. Now, if you believe the lie, it becomes the truth for you. But the fact that he says, such were some of you, tells me, all of these things can change. All of these things can change. Now, you might think that because as far back as you can remember, you felt had these feelings, but that doesn't mean you were born that way. You don't remember a whole lot before about the age of 4. So it might have, that demonic spirit and things in your life might have been going on for a long time, but that doesn't mean that that's how you were created. You were created in the image of God. You were created for his purpose. He knows what gender you are. He knows how he created you. And he knows the destiny that's on your life. And he'll reveal it to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. People can change. People can change. Amen? Yes. So there was a, I think it was AA years ago, adopted the phrase stinking thinking. And we can all have a lot of stinking thinking. And as we grow in the Lord, he reveals to us the areas of our thinking that is wrong. Just as an example, just recently, I've been around these things for a while. I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm just saying I've been working on a lot of things for a while. And I was just kind of minding my own business, thinking while I'm vacuuming or something around the house. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit alerted me to some very bad self-talk that I had going on. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. He begins to fine-tune you. He gets rid of, you know, the major stuff. I tell people I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the guys that do. He kind of gets rid of all that. When you first come to the Lord, you kind of let some things fall off that you know are obviously things that need to be let go. But then he begins to fine-tune your thinking, your attitudes. He begins to deal with those things. And I'm just minding my own business, like I said, you know, vacuuming or something. And he began to deal with me about my negative self-talk. You know, I was frustrated with something I felt like I'd done wrong. And so I was just dogging myself. I know none of you. But I was just giving myself a bad time. Like, how could you do that? You know, just mad at myself. Anybody ever been mad at yourself? Okay, come forward. But I'm just saying that this is how the Holy Spirit works. And I kind of stopped in my tracks when he alerted me that it was kind of like,
I died for you. Don't talk about yourself like that. You made a mistake, so repent. Let's get it out of the way. Let's move on. He wants me to be more my own best friend. And so that's just an example of just something that happened more within the last few weeks. But that's how the Holy Spirit is, because he's our teacher. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so he's there on the inside to help you change and to come from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit of God. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, you got some stinking thinking. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, you need to change. We all do. We all do. So welcome to the club. Don't get so defensive when somebody implies that you might not be perfect. We all have a lot to change. Amen? And it's going to be by the Spirit of God. Amen? And if you find that, you know, like we've been, you know, getting into some of the things in the study in Romans, we're all like sitting there. just being honest. Sometimes you run up against something that you realize you don't want to change. I've talked to some of your wives. You don't want to change. That's when you pray Philippians 2:13. And you pray it with a sincere heart. Because when you come up against something in the Word of God that you know needs to change in your life, you have to be willing. Because God can't do something in your life that you aren't willing to allow him to do. That's a big lesson right there. He cannot and will not violate your will. So he will patiently wait until you get ready or there's enough consequences from your bad behavior that you kind of run to him and want change. But Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He will give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So if you find yourself not wanting to change, and it is obvious that you need to change, and there's bad fruit in your life, maybe bad fruit in your marriage, maybe you're, you know, always getting written up on the job or whatever, and you know clearly that there is something that needs to change in your behavior, you need to talk to God and say, God, give me the desire to change. I want to be pleasing to you. And come to his word with that attitude, and he will change you. So in looking at some points to be learned tonight, number one, in order to change, we must study the Bible. Actually study it. Not just lightly thumb through it and read your Bible verse for your little devotion in the morning. That's good, and that, you know, can help you wake up and all that stuff. But we need to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a right way to divide the Word of God, and there's a wrong way. And you don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be around the things of God, and then somebody asks you what the Bible says about something, and you're like, I don't know. I just go to church a lot. Anyway, a little drama tonight to help you. But we need to study. We need to get into some systematic study. Billy Graham said, if you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. If you're ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you hide the word of God in your heart. You study it, and you get those truths of his word down in you. How do you do that? Number two, you find verses in the Bible that give you wisdom in the area that you need to grow in. God starts dealing with you on gossip, you know, saying unlovely things about people, repeating things that are third hand and aren't lovely about someone. And you need to get into the Word and find scriptures about how you are to talk. And there are lots of scriptures. You can look at a Knaves Topical Bible. There's an app for it. And that lists by subject almost everything. And it'll list scriptures for you to look at. Or if you remember one word of a certain verse, And you have a Strong's Concordance, or you can do Bible Gateway or YouVerse, any of those apps. You put in that one word, and it'll give you every scripture where that word is used. And you can begin to look up these things. Now, I want to recommend, let me go to the next point. Number three is to think or meditate on these verses. Once you find them, then you begin to think on them or meditate on them and mull them over and try to examine them. We recently, in Women Rock AM, we went through a series where we learned how to use the SOAP method in study. It's called SOAP. It's an acronym. And S is for scripture. You read the scripture out loud. You write it down in your journal. You read it slowly and thoroughly. You're writing the scripture down because you're really looking at the scripture that you want to learn and you want to apply it to your heart. Not so much to memorize it just so you can impress someone, but you're hiding the word of God in your heart so that your behavior, your thinking will change, and therefore your behavior will change. Are you with me? O in SOAP is observation. You make observations about the scripture. You ask, you try repeating it or thinking about it in your own words. You write those down. You answer questions like who, what, why, when, where. You can talk to God and ask him, God, why did you write this? Why is this here? And what you believe he speaks to you, you can write that down. Journaling is so powerful. And then in the word SOAP, the next letter is A for application. So now you're going to look at this verse and apply it to your life. How can I become more like this verse? God, you showed it to me, and I'm looking at it, I'm examining it from every way which. How can I apply it to my life? And then P is for prayer, SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. You spend time talking to God about what you read and ask him to help you apply this truth to your life. Then you pray it for yourself and you can pray it for others. So that's a powerful method of study if you want to know that you can now apply in your journaling because you're going to begin to study the Word of God. Amen? We're going to study it. We're going to become students of the word. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. That's all the time. That you may observe to do. Again, there's that observation. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your own way prosperous. God, make me prosperous. You will make your own way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So here's Joshua taking over from Moses, and he was a hard act to follow, would you say? You know, let's just part the Red Sea. Let's just, you know, bring 2 million people out of Egypt. I mean, you know, and so here's Joshua. He's been a mighty warrior, but now he's supposed to take over for him. And God's ministering to him, and he speaks this to him, and he tells him that the law, the word of God, should not depart out of his mouth. In other words, he needs to begin to say what the word of God says, and that needs to be what comes out of his mouth. That word meditate says, you shall meditate in it day and night. It means to ponder by talking to yourself. And so as you read the word of God, you say it out loud and you think on it. And if it's applying to your life, then you can say, Father, I thank you that this is how I behave. I thank you, Father, that this is now how my behavior is. And as you speak what God says about you and you're beginning to think like God thinks, then when you go out into life, you will see your behavior changing. Amen. Amen. And you'll make your own way prosperous. Anybody want to be prosperous around here? Yes. 2 John 3:2 says that he wants us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So we're changing the way we think. Amen. I love John 5:19. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus was observing the Father and then doing what he did. We see what Jesus did in the Word of God. And when we come into those same settings, people that need to be healed or someone that's acting very demonic, we can respond the way Jesus did because we're seeing what he did. We're observing to do according to all that is written in the Word of God. Amen? So the Word of God can bring the change that you need even in the area of your identity. If you've thought about yourself a certain way for so long, you can begin to find who God has designed you to be and become that. You may have to undo some things that have been said over you your whole life, and that's where I like to advocate the program we have called Breaking Free. I'm trying to be practical tonight and give you some tools that are going to help you, and we have an 8-week course called Breaking Free. Pastor Joel and Joanna, you want to wave to everybody? And it happens on Tuesday nights, and they do it in, 8-week sessions. And what they deal with is you overcoming some of these areas that have just plagued you your whole life. And, wrong thinking. So many of us, we have like these ditches in our thinking that one little thing triggers and we go down in that ditch. And they're literally, like I said, ditches or caverns that have been set in our brain and the way we think. And we've done that for so many years, we don't realize how bad the behavior is. But they deal with areas of forgiveness and things like that and curses that have been spoken over you and your family and different things to where you can repent, you can receive forgiveness. Sometimes we're mad at God because he allowed certain things in our life. That's a big one you need to get over. And so they have mentors and people that will work with you to where you can get past some of these things. You can find out what the Word of God says about some of these things and be changed by the power of God. Amen? Amen. So you ponder what God says. You see yourself doing what God says do, and you say it out of your mouth. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God spoken out of your own mouth, faith rises in your heart to see it come to fruition in your life. Amen? In Romans 4:17 and through 21, I don't have it on the overheads, but God was dealing with Abraham, and it says that God called things that be not as though they were. And that's what you have to begin to do in your life. You have to call things that be not as though they were. Abraham was in a very impossible situation. God was calling him Abraham, which meant the father of many nations, and yet he was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90, and it says that they were way past having children. They were dead in that area, and yet they conceived and had a son, and through them came the whole nation of Israel. As many as the stars of the sky, God would show him. And so God called things that be not as though they were. He called him Abraham, the father of many nations, before he even had one child. So you need to get a scripture that promises who you are in Christ and begin to say who you are. I'm the very righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God, you've made me right with you. I don't feel too right, but you've made me right with you. You've cleansed me by the blood of Jesus. August 11th, Pastor Dan taught a message that weekend, one of the best messages I've ever heard, on realizing that you are the very righteousness of God in Christ. Get a hold of it and begin to see yourself as God sees you. Amen? So number 4, there is power released from the Word of God to change you. I hope I've already been saying that. There is power released from the Word of God to change you. Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and powerful, alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The Word of God is alive. Within the very words themselves is released the power for you to live it. I love the Holy Spirit. One of the definitions of grace that our pastor Deborah taught us around here is that grace is the power of God to cause us to do what God's word demands of us. I said that wrong, right? It's the power of God in us. There we go. It's the power of God in us to do what his word demands of us. You'll read some scriptures and you'll go, God, oh my gosh, really? I'm supposed to do that? But his grace comes in. His grace comes in and causes you to be able to change and to come up to another degree of glory. Amen. So his word is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every scripture is God-breathed. The Holy Spirit has anointed every scripture. It's not like a book like any other book in the world. It is anointed by the Spirit of God. And within the very words themselves, as you're meditating on the word, as you're thinking on the word, is going to be released the power for you to do it. We're set up for success. It's so amazing. We just have to put our little bit of effort in. Do I hear an amen? You're awful quiet on me tonight. But it says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof. Ooh, we don't like that. And conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what his word will do for you. It's God-breathed. It's anointed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will jump out of those pages and anoint you to be able to change and to live it. Amen? God is good. God is good. He can change wrong patterns of thinking. He can change a low self-image that led you into addictions. Many of you, I've prayed with people that they said street drugs were nothing like trying to get off these prescription drugs. There's things that have gotten a hold of us that are demonic, and we need them broken by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. And of course, there's prayer, the prayer of the saints. We need prayer. But when you begin to get a hold of what God's word says about you, and you begin to think like God thinks about you, you're going to be changed. You're going to become that new person. Saul was a terrorist, killing Christians, putting men and women, it says, in jail. He stood there while they stoned Stephen and said, here, put your clothes here while you're stoning him. He supervised that. And yet, he met a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus, and he was forever changed. And he went on to become the great apostle Paul, writing over 2/3 of the New Testament and speaking into our lives today. God can change you. He wants to change you, and he wants to make you so much better in your character, in your behavior, than you have ever imagined. He loves you. The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. He's not going to love you anymore because you begin to change, but you're going to reap the benefits. You're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. You're going to have beautiful relationships. You're going to have wisdom in the job situation. You're going to go from insecure and following everybody and moved by every wave of the sea to being a leader and used for God. I think of Petey. What an amazing testimony. He teaches, he gets others free from anger He teaches our anger management class, which is another one kind of like Breaking Free. Sign up for that too. It's 8 weeks. Just look for when it's offered. It is coming up? Okay, good. But that is an example. I used him as an example because he was messed up. But coming to the Lord, getting into the Word of God, getting his mind renewed to the Word of God, now he's a mighty leader in the house of God. And that's what God wants to do with each one of us. Amen. Amen. You can't change yourself, but by God's power and by renewing your mind to the Word of God, he will change you. So to summarize, number one, we must study the Bible in order to change. That's a given. You've got to do that. You've got to put some time in. You've got to unplug the devices, turn off the TV, whatever your distraction is, and spend time in God's Word. There's patterns of behavior and thinking he wants to change. Number two, find verses in the Bible that give you wisdom in the area you need to grow. There's apps, there's different ways. I love to, when Pastor Dan teaches a message on Sunday morning, Saturday morning, then that becomes my devotional, like the next Monday. I look up those scriptures again because that was my pastor speaking into my life, and those scriptures are for my edification. He knows what I need because he's led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And then looking up those scriptures, I begin to see the Holy Spirit work in my life and go that much deeper with whatever the message was. Number three, think or meditate on the verses that you find. Use the SOAP method as we suggested. And number four, there's power released from the Word of God to change you. How many are purposing to change by the power of God? I hope you got something. God bless you. At this time, I want Pastor Teresa to come. She's going to go through some announcements and things.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. And thank you so much.
I'll be right back. So don't go away.
All of us are somewhere on that journey from the seed to the caterpillar, in the chrysalis, right? In that difficult place, and we come out like a butterfly. And it happens in all different areas of our life, through all the seasons of our life. We may go through that cycle over and over and over as we prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We don't have to lose heart because the Word of God is powerful. This is a practical message for us to take into our everyday and watch God do beautiful things in our life. Thank you so, so much, Pastor Sue. Amazing, wonderful, beautiful. You know what? I don't even remember. Did Pastor Sue welcome our first-time visitors? She did not. You know what? We are excited that you're with us tonight. We're excited if you came in here and you're here at church, or if you're online for the very first time, you've stuck around through an incredible message. We're glad that you're watching. We're glad that you're here. But we want to know where you are, and we're not going to embarrass you. We just want to put something in your hand so you can know a little bit about us since you came out and you're visiting us tonight. So would you just raise your hand in the air if you're here in the house for the first time? There, I see a hand right there. There's some hands back in the family room. If we had an usher running up there, thank you so much. Some hands over here. And if you're online, there's a number on the screen that you can text and get a welcome message from our senior pastors. We're glad that you joined us. If you're here, what I'd like you to do is go ahead and open that little booklet right now. And on the right-hand side, there's a section that asks for your information. If you've got a pen with you, if you take that out and just take a minute and fill that out with your information, because we're going to pass some offering buckets, and I would like you to drop it in that bucket if you can. If you don't have time before the bucket passes, there's some black boxes on your way out. You can also drop it in there. Why? Because we just want to say hello. We're glad you came. Want to see if you have any prayer needs. Just reach out with a phone call. We're not going to put you on some messaging list or spam you. Just a single phone call to let you know that we appreciate that you came and we love you. And if you live in the area, you don't have a home church, we'd love to be your church. We'd love to become family with you. So thank you for joining us here tonight. You are so welcome. Now we're going to move the service into an opportunity to do what God's Word says, because God's Word is good for us, right? And we're going to have a moment of giving, of sowing into the house and the work of God, giving from our finances, right, in obedience to what God says. And we have a beautiful scripture. It's about our heart. When people say, okay, it's time for sowing, it's time for giving, it's time for being obedient to God's Word, what does our heart do, Right? How does our heart respond to that? This scripture that we've got for this week addresses that. It says exactly this. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly, meaning not regretfully, not like, oh my gosh, I have to do this again. God doesn't want us to give that way. And it says, or of necessity, right? Another version says, or of compulsion, meaning that I have to give because people are making me give. God doesn't want us to do that either. But he says, God loves a cheerful giver, right? He loves a cheerful giver. He loves that we say, God, I trust you so much with my finances. I know that everything that I have is yours. I know that you're the one that provides my needs. So when I'm in obedience and give my tithe, or when I go over and above and give an offering, I can do so joyfully and cheerfully because I know it's into your hands and I trust you with my life and you're going to provide every need. So are you ready to give tonight? Yes, let's do so with a cheerful heart. There's a bunch of ways to give up on the screen behind me electronically. If you want to give by the app, if you want to give on the website, that's all there. If you want to give using the QR code, you can actually take out your phone right now and hold it up and put it up to that QR code. Or super simple, right in front of you, there's a little sign on the seat in front of you. Just tap your phone and it's going to open up right to the webpage for giving if you want to give electronically. But if you brought a physical offering tonight, if you would like to give by cash, check, or credit card, our ushers are going to go ahead and stand to their feet right now. You can raise your hand in the air and they will spot you and give you one of these physical envelopes, and that helps us to keep a record of your giving so that you can use that also when you do your taxes at the end of the year. So as you're preparing your giving, as you're giving on your phone, I'm going to go ahead and bless the offering. You keep doing that. Those of you who are filling out the first time visitors, go ahead and continue to do that as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for the house of God. I thank you for the word of God that we've heard tonight that's so powerful, God. Thank you, Lord God, that your word transforms us and changes us. And I thank you for this moment when we have an opportunity to sow into this work, to sow into the kingdom, so that people can keep hearing your word, God, so that the word of God can continue to go outside of the Rock Church, Father. I thank you that you bless this offering that's being received tonight. I thank you for your church, Lord God, that's obeying you by sowing the tithe, Father, by sowing their offering, and they're doing so cheerfully. And I know that that blesses your heart and that you multiply back, Father. And you make sure, Lord God, as we trust you, that you provide for every need. I thank you that you provide for the needs of the house and the needs of every giver in the house tonight. And we do this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, I got a couple of announcements before Pastor Sue comes back up tonight. We have got a save the day. What does that mean? That means it's a little bit far away, but mark your calendars for Friday, October 4th, right here in the main sanctuary. We have Women Rock PM. This is our third PM for the year. We're super excited, so we hope you can join us. Invite a friend. It's a wonderful night. We have a pre-party, a service, a post-party. It's wonderful. So make sure that you get that on your calendar now. And then we've got a prayer call for conference. We've met the last two Wednesdays to pray for the Rock Con coming up. We know God's going to do a mighty move. He's going to empower you, empower those who come, right, to do what he's called us to do, get us ready for what's coming in 2025. It's going to be an incredible conference, but we want to pray it in. We want God to do everything he wants to do, and we want to make sure that we've laid down the groundwork in prayer. So Wednesday, 12 o'clock, you can come right here on campus in the chapel. You can join us on Instagram Live. Just follow the Rock Church page. If you're like, I don't know what that is, just pray Wednesday, 12 o'clock. Pray for the conference. Pray for the speakers. Pray for those to come in. People who are hesitant, they need to come because God's got something incredible for them and for you as you come out to conference. We've got a video for you, and then Pastor Sue will be right back up.
Hi, Rock family. Pastor Dan and Jessica Roth here, and we want to talk to you about RockCon 2024 coming up real soon, September 13th and 14th. But Pastor Jess, why is it important that our church shows up to this event?
You know, I believe that this is a time for us to press in, to go deeper, to give God more of our time and more of just that time where you push aside everything you would normally do on that weekend and you say, I'm going to spend the whole weekend with God as a family. Mm. And we're going to just, it's almost like a fasting of what we would normally do to be with God completely. And in that, I know that God is going to speak to us, that he's going to deposit some things in us, that he's going to put into us a preparedness of what is ahead and how we as believers are going to be in and where he needs us to be, and there's a commission going to be placed on our lives. And so you don't want to miss this. It's going to be life-changing. Yeah. We have youth conference, children's conference, women's, men's, we have it all. And these phenomenal speakers. So please, guys, take some time as a family. Sign up together. We'll see you there, and let's see what God speaks, because it is time for what God has for us this year.
And the scripture says, and great grace was upon them all. I believe that God has a word for you at RockCon 2024, and that there will be graces imparted into your life as you set aside that time and join us for RockCon 2024.
Love you.
Amen. Make sure you get registered for the conference. It's going to be so good. And talk about putting the word of God in your heart. It's going to be so, so rich. So before you go tonight, I just want to talk to you. I don't want to assume where everyone's at. And I talked tonight about renewing your mind with the Word of God, getting into the Bible. But the place that you have to start is to first be born again. That seed that we showed with the caterpillar. You must be born again. A man named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was kind of afraid for the other Jewish leaders to see him, so he's sneaking off to ask Jesus, you know, how can I get into the kingdom of God? What's this all about? And Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, how can I be born again, climbing back in my mother's womb? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So just like you were born of your mother's womb, your spirit needs to be born again of God's spirit. And it doesn't happen by you just doing good works, thinking that you can just be good enough for God. It's God's heaven, and we have to get there God's way. It's not enough to be perfect. You can't be perfect for a righteous God. In and of yourself, you have no righteousness. But when you're born again of His Spirit, by making Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then you become a new creation in Christ. You're then born of His Spirit, and God receives you as His very own. He becomes your heavenly Father, and Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. You give Him all of your heart and all of your life, and you surrender your will to His will. So, if you've been away from God, maybe you prayed a prayer at one time, but it wasn't anything that you lived. You prayed at some meeting, and you were sincere at the time, but you know you've been very far away from God. If that's you, you need to come back to God today. Some of you may have not ever prayed a prayer and actually given God all of your heart and all of your life. You need to do that tonight. You need to start there. You might think you're saved. You say, well, maybe, I mean, I'm a good person. I feel like I'm saved. But you can't hope your way into heaven, or maybe so. It's something that you need to be assured of your salvation. And if that's you, we want to pray with you tonight also. So I'm going to count to three. I'm going to slap my hand on this pulpit. I don't think you can hear it too good. And then I want you to raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you're saying, yes, I know I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life, or I need to come back to God, or I need to be assured of my salvation. So I'll be looking all over this place, and you need to take care of what you know you need in your heart tonight. So on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Very good. Jesus wants to be Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to begin an amazing work in your life so that you can be changed by His glory. Anyone else? I saw those hands. Praise God. Anyone else? I don't want to move too fast here. I kind of got out here where I can finally see. Okay, I saw about four or five hands raised. So right now, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to make a very bold move and to come forward. Because it's not enough just to raise your hand.
We need to pray with you, and you need to give God all of your heart, all of your life, so that you can be born again of His Spirit. Come on, everybody. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being so bold. Thank you for being so bold. God is going to bless you. He's going to meet you at your point of need. Amen. Amen. I see those hands everywhere. God bless you. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come forward. We have room. We have room. I would come down and shake your hands, but I'm not going to navigate in these heels. Anyway, God bless you for coming tonight. I know God was speaking to your heart. You can be changed. You can be renewed by the Spirit of God. It starts with being born again. So all of us, all of your new friends, we're all going to lead you in a prayer. And you're going to repeat after me, but you're going to be asking Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Okay, if you kind of skip a word or whatever, don't worry. God sees your heart. So are you ready to pray? Ready to pray with us? Okay, let's bow our heads and say, Dear God, I come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I turn from sin. I turn from doing my own thing. And I now make you Lord. I make you boss of my life. God, you are now my Father. Jesus, you are my Lord. I serve you. I renounce any works of the devil. And my life is yours, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen me. Help me to live fully for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That was a bold move tonight. You did the best thing. This is amazing. I'm so excited. Now, what I'd like you to do is you're going to turn to the left and follow Pastor Joel here. And if you've got questions about those programs I told you about, Breaking Free or Anger Management, he's over those. So go with him, and he's going to give you some materials, get you hooked up with a spiritual personal trainer, which is like having a friend, and you're going to be blessed. We're so excited. Are you excited, church? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just to show that miracles still happen, without the confidence monitor working tonight, I have finished early. I think miracles definitely do happen, right, Pastor Jess? I'm known for going over. Anyway, we're going to have prayer teams up here. And I want to just, since we have just a little bit of time, I want to encourage you. If you need prayer for an addiction, for anything that may have you in bondage, after we're excused, I want you to come forward. We have prayer teams. We will agree with you in prayer. You need healing, we will lay hands on you. The Bible says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. They're going to be up here. And they will lay hands on him and possibly anoint him with oil, and he'll be healed. The Bible says that the prayer of faith saves the sick. But I didn't get into it, but part of getting delivered from some of these lifestyles that are so wrong and so destructive is the prayer of the saints and fellowship. That's why around here we encourage church attendance. We encourage getting involved with small groups or volunteering in areas where you're going to make friends and have connections that if you're not doing well, someone can pray with you. Someone knows you enough that they understand the battle that you're in. We're all exes something around here. I mean, every one of us has an amazing testimony of the power of God to change us. And so we want to agree with you in prayer. So I know we have prayer teams after every service, but I just wanted to highlight that because I know as the Holy Spirit was ministering, some of you kind of got your nails hit on the head. And on the inside, if there was a tug, like, oh, I need I need prayer for that. I need encouragement. Then we want to pray with you and agree with you in prayer, because we want to see you overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit and be all that God has called you to be. He's going to make Petey Cuellars out of all of us. He's going to take us from whatever we were into and in bondage to become the leaders and the amazing people God has designed us to be. Amen. So let me close it with prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you for these beautiful saints that have received so much by the Spirit of God today, Father. I know you're just beginning to work in their lives, all of our lives. Father, we love you. We give you honor and glory and praise for just ministering as only you can, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now I just want to pronounce a blessing. Father, we thank you that these people are blessed in the city. They're blessed in the field. They're blessed coming. They're blessed going. Father, everything that their hands touch prospers. And Father, we thank you and we believe that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and pray that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.